Part 4. Astrology and Magic. If we would call any evil spirit to the circle, it first behoveth us to consider and to know his nature, to which of the planets it agreeth, and what offices are distributed to him from the planet. Fourth Book of Agrippa's Occult Philosophy. Astrology is essentially a magical art. Astrologers believe that the course of our lives is laid down for us in the stars, but they also hold the contradictory belief that we can use the influences of the stars to our own advantage. If you wait to buy a house until Mercury and Jupiter are in certain positions in the sky, you are following a procedure which is just as magical as the medieval cure for lunacy, which prescribes tying an herb around the patient's neck with a red cloth when the moon is waxing in the sign of Taurus. In one case, the moon's influence is used to cure a lunatic. In the other, the influences of Mercury and Jupiter are used to secure a satisfactory house. Most people who believe in astrology would probably reject the medieval lunacy cure, but if they are consistent, they should not doubt it because it smacks of magic. In practice, modern astrologers keep decidedly quiet about this subject. An American magazine lists favorable days for making an appointment with your doctor, having dental treatment, or having your eyes tested, but it does not list favorable days for undergoing surgery or taking medicine. Astrologers who say that the stars influence health usually do not provide astrological remedies. This is not a sign that astrologers want to avoid magic, but a confession that their system has failed to work when applied to medicine. Medieval astrologers were less cautious. Alexander of Tralles, a medieval authority of great influence, advised wearing a verse of Homer engraved on a plate of copper, the metal of Venus, at a time when the moon was in Leo or Libra, as a cure for gout. Arnaut of Villanova made a seal of lead, the metal of Saturn, in the form of a lion, the sign Leo, standing for strength and courage, for Pope Boniface VIII to limit, influence of Saturn, the pain of an operation for stone. Apparently it worked, as Boniface is said to have valued it highly. Both these remedies involve the use of a talisman, the copper plate, or the seal. A talisman is an object, a precious stone, a ring, a plant, a piece of paper, usually carried in the hand, hung from the neck, or tied to the body. An astrological talisman is used to attract the influence of the planet. It must be made of a material associated with the planet, and it should be constructed at a time when the planet is radiating its influence with maximum power, when it is in the ascendant, or at mid-sky, or well-aspected, or in an appropriate zodiac sign. Julianus Ristorus, professor at Pisa University in the early 16th century, owned a ring which had been engraved with certain characters when the moon was at mid-sky and strong in Cancer. He used it to cure ailments of the shins and feet. He had another ring, engraved when Saturn was badly aspected, which he used to ward off mosquitoes. Rings intended to attract the influences of the planets should be made of the following materials: sun, diamond or topaz set in gold; the moon, pearl, crystal or quartz set in silver; mercury, opal or agate set in quicksilver; Venus, emerald or turquoise set in copper; Mars, ruby or any red stone set in iron; Jupiter, sapphire, amethyst or cornelian set in tin; Saturn, onyx or sapphire set in lead. The uses of talismans ran far beyond the cure of disease. In 1318, the Archbishop of Aix resigned his see after he had been accused of practicing the forbidden, damnable, and mathematical art of divination. It was said that a Jewish astrologer had carved seals on the archbishop's pastoral rings to avert disease and bring him good fortune. In England in the late 14th century, formal rules were drawn up for the conduct of duels in the marshal's court, including a provision that the adversaries must fight with conventional weapons only. Each was to swear on oath that he carried no stone of power or herb or characters, magical letters or symbols, or any other charm. At the same period, in 1386, Robert Tresilian, condemned to death for treason, announced at the scaffold that he could not die as long as he kept his clothes on. The executioners stripped him and found talismans painted like unto the signs of heaven, the zodiac signs, and the head of a devil painted and the names of many devils on parchment. They took these away and hanged him up naked, and he died. The medieval magician and astrologer Cecco d'Ascoli described the manufacture of a talisman to attract love. The talisman is made of tin, the metal of Jupiter, planet of success. The molten tin must be poured into the mold when Venus is in Taurus or Pisces. Venus is strong in Taurus and exalted in Pisces, and as the metal is poured out, the powerful influence of Venus alters the proportions in which the elements are mingled in the tin so that it becomes an effective love charm. Cecco d'Ascoli was eventually condemned by the Inquisition as a heretic. He and his astrological writings were burnt together at the stake in Florence in 1327. Francis Barrett's The Magus, or Celestial Intelligencer, published in 1801, says that if you carry a talisman engraved on silver when the moon was well aspected, you will be pleasant, cheerful, and honored by others, you will be able to make journeys in safety, your wealth will increase, and your health will be good. If you make a talisman of lead when the moon is adversely aspected, and bury it under or near a house, it will bring evil to those who live in the house. A magical textbook called The Great Albert describes a talisman which will bring good luck in gambling. To make this talisman, take a large piece of virgin, unused parchment. On the first Thursday, day of Jupiter, the planet of prosperity, of the new moon, at the hour of Jupiter, and before sunrise, write on the parchment, Non licet ponare in ego borna quia pretium sanguinis. Then wrap the severed head of a viper in the parchment, and tie it up with a red silk ribbon. Hang it on your left arm when you are going to gamble, and all will be well. The Latin words are a corruption of Matthew 27:6. When Judas Iscariot remorsefully returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests, they decided that it was not lawful to send the money to the treasury, because it was the price of blood. Non licet eos mittere in corbonam, quia pretium sanguinis est. Because the 30 pieces of silver could not be returned to the treasury, your stake cannot be lost to the bank when these words are written on your talisman. Modern astrologers are generally silent on the subject of talismans. Edouard Châtel-Hérault gives directions for making planetary talismans in his You and Your Stars, though he does not specifically say that he expects them to work. W.T. and K. Pavitt, in their book on talismans and zodiacal gems, doubt many of the old claims made for talismans, but believe that they may have power in some cases and give a modern magical explanation of their action. Quote, many people are prepared to admit that there may be some active power in a thought made concrete in the form of a talisman or amulet, unquote. The talisman provides a focus for the magician's concentration on the object of his spell, in the same way that a wax image provides a focus for his hatred or his lust. Astrological considerations have always been extremely important in magic. Magicians link the planets with the great forces which move the universe, as in the Kabbalah, because the ancients identified the planets with the gods. To control the planetary influences is to control the driving impulses beneath the surface of things. This is made possible by the fact that the stars behave in a regular and predictable way, which was one of the reasons for astrology's firm grip on the classical world. The old nature gods behaved arbitrarily and unpredictably, like the forces which they personified, lightning, thunder, wind, earthquake. In the planets, the Greeks discovered gods who followed strict and changeless laws, and in his old age, Plato found the true gods in the sky. All forces which obey immutable laws, like the planets and the numbers, are vital to magic, because the magician can rely on them to work in the way which he requires at the time when he needs them. The influence of a planet can be magically captured through the use of things which are linked with it. using red, iron, and the number 5 to tap the force of Mars, for example. Or the starry influences can be drawn down to Earth through a magical link created by words, as in an interesting love charm from the Grimorium Verum, which uses the force of the moon and a star, and is described as, quote, an experiment of the wonderful power of the superior intelligences, unquote. The magician begins by drawing on virgin parchment 2 concentric circles surmounted by a cross. On the western arm of the cross is the symbol of the sun, on the eastern arm the symbol of the moon, and on the northern arm a star. He writes the name of the woman he desires in the inner circle, and on the other side of the parchment the names of power Melchiael Barescas. At 11 o'clock at night, armed with this talisman, the magician goes outside and puts the parchment on the ground with the woman's name downwards. He puts his right foot on the parchment, his left knee on the ground, and holds in his right hand a lighted candle of white wax large enough to burn for an hour. Then he concentrates on the highest star in the sky and begins his incantation. I salute and conjure you, O beautiful moon, O beautiful star, O brilliant light which I hold in my hand. These words link the moon and the star with the candle. By the air that I breathe, by the breath within me, by the earth which I touch, I conjure you. This channels the celestial forces through the air, through the magician's breath, into his body, through the parchment bearing the woman's name, and into the earth. They are earthed as a precaution. Otherwise, the magician might be destroyed by them, as by lightning. The incantation continues. By all the names of the spirit princes living in you, by the ineffable name On, which created all things, by you, O resplendent angel Gabriel, with the planet Mercury, Michael, and Melchidael, I conjure you by all the holy names of God, that you send down power to obsess, torment, and harass the body, the soul, and the 5 senses of N, she whose name is written here below, so that she shall come to me and submit to my desires, liking no one in the world, and especially thus N, for as long as she shall be indifferent to me. So shall she endure not, so shall she be obsessed, so suffer, so be tormented. Go then quickly. Go, Melchidael, Barescas, Zazel, Firael, Malka, and all those who are with you. I conjure you by the great living God to obey my will, and I, N, promise to satisfy you. This incantation is repeated 3 times. Then the magician burns the parchment with the candle. He is burning the woman's name with the celestial force which has been linked with the candle, which should cause her to writhe in fiery torment until she submits to the spell. The next day, he puts the ashes of the parchment in his left shoe and keeps them there till the woman comes to him. Another way of enlisting planetary influences in a magical operation is to perform the ceremony on the day and in the hour of the appropriate planet. Each day and each hour has its planetary ruler. Sunday is ruled by the sun, Monday by the moon, Tuesday by Mars, Tiu, the Teutonic war god, Wednesday by Mercury, Woden, Thursday by Jupiter, Thor, Friday by Venus, Freya, Saturday by Saturn. The planet which rules the day rules the first hour after sunrise, and the succeeding hours of daylight are ruled by the other planets in the following order: Sun, Venus, Mercury, Moon, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars. At sunset, a new progression begins. The first hour after sunset is ruled by the planet which is 5th in order from the planet which rules the day. For example, the first hour after sunrise, Thursday, the day of Jupiter, Jupiter. Friday, the day of Venus, Venus. The second hour after sunrise, Thursday, the day of Jupiter, Mars. Friday, the day of Venus, Mercury. The third hour after sunrise, Thursday, the day of Jupiter, the sun. Friday, the day of Venus, the moon. And so on for the remaining hours of daylight. The first hour after sunset, Thursday, the moon. Friday, Mars. The second hour after sunset, Thursday, Saturn. Friday, the sun. The third hour after sunset, Thursday, Jupiter. Friday, Venus. And so on for the remaining hours of night. The next sunrise marks the start of a new day, and the effect is that each planet rules the first and eighth hours of daylight and the third and tenth hours of night on its own day. Rules for deciding which planetary influences are needed for different types of operation are provided by the Key of Solomon and another grimoire, True Black Magic. Briefly, the days and hours of the planets are suitable for the sun, gaining money or the support of powerful people, gaining or causing friendship and harmony, finding buried treasure. The moon, raising the spirits of the dead, operations of love and reconciliation, seeing visions, becoming invisible, theft, operations connected with water, the sea, shipping, and travel. Mercury, obtaining knowledge, discovering the future, operations connected with commerce, merchandise, deceit, and theft. Venus, works of love, lust, pleasure, and friendship. Mars, killing, destroying, or causing hatred, discord, and unhappiness, raising the spirits of the dead, especially those murdered or killed in battle. Operations connected with military matters. Jupiter, gaining wealth, position, or friendship, gaining good health, becoming invisible. Saturn, works of death, destruction, or injury, raising souls from hell, obtaining knowledge. All operations connected with buildings, because in the Kabbalah, Saturn is the force of stability and inertia. A waning moon is favorable to works of hatred and discord. The moon, when almost obscured, favors operations of death and destruction, and also becoming invisible. Nothing should be attempted when the moon is in conjunction with the sun, as this causes all projects to fail. Some magical textbooks classify the spirits, or supernatural intelligences, which the magician hopes to master in terms of their planetary affiliations. The Arbatel of Magic lists 7 Olympic spirits who rule the planets. Aratron, Saturn. Betor, Jupiter. Pheleg, Mars. Och, the Sun. Hagith, Venus. Ophiel, Mercury. And Ful, the Moon. Each of them has troops of subordinate spirits at his command, and each governs his planet's department of life and has the corresponding magical powers. Betor rules wealth and status, as Jupiter does in astrology, and he can confer riches and high rank on the magician. Similarly, Hagith rules love and beauty, confers these benefits on the magician, and converts copper, the metal of Venus, to gold instantaneously. Diagram 11. Each Olympic spirit has his own magical symbol, which is his mark or signature, and is equivalent to his real name. But the Arbatel says that knowing a spirit's symbol does not automatically give power over it, which is a contradiction of the usual magical doctrine. The spirit can only be summoned by praying to God to send him. Profound meditation and a sincere love of God are necessary before such a request will be granted. Other authorities say that planetary spirits can be summoned or planetary influences attracted by the use of images, which are real or mental pictures intended to express the planet's nature. In 1489, Marsilio Ficino, a Florentine philosopher and doctor, published a medical textbook, Libri de Vita, in which he recommended the use of images for attracting favorable influences. Students, he said, sometimes become ill or depressed after working too hard, and this is because thought and study belong to Saturn, which rules the melancholy temperament and is antagonistic to the vital forces of life and youth. Overworked students and elderly people whose vital forces are on the wane should try to lure influences from the favorable planets Jupiter, Venus, and the Sun. To gain health and happiness, for instance, make an image of Venus, a picture of a beautiful young girl dressed in white or yellow and holding flowers and apples. It has been suggested that Botticelli's Primavera may have been intended as a talisman of Venus of this kind. Ficino put his planetary images forward hesitantly, afraid that he might be accused of practicing magic. But 100 years later, Giordano Bruno adopted the same idea with hearty enthusiasm. He supplies various images of the sun, for example. Apollo with a bow but no quiver, laughing. An archer killing a wolf, a crow flying above him. A man with a beard and helmet riding a lion, a golden crown above his head, and on his helmet a cock with a conspicuous crest of many colors. These pictures are symbols of the sun's nature in the same way that the tarot cards are believed to be symbols of universal forces or paths to the ultimate truth. By meditating on them, according to Bruno, the planet's influence can be brought down into the human personality. You can master the planetary forces, in fact, by concentrating on their characteristic symbols. Bruno was condemned as a heretic and magician by the Inquisition. He was burned alive at Rome in 1600. Some of Ficino's planetary images seem to have been taken from a book on magic and astrology called Picatrix, which was originally written in Arabic, probably in the 12th century. Another magical textbook, the fourth book, added to Agrippa's occult philosophy, but probably not written by Agrippa himself, describes the spirits of the planets in very much the same way. A spirit of the sun may appear as a king holding a scepter and riding a lion, as a king seated on a throne with a globe beneath his feet, as a queen, a lion, a cock, or a scepter. The spirits of Venus show themselves as girls playing and luring the magician to join them, as a naked girl, a king riding a camel, a she-goat, a camel, or a dove. A spirit of the moon may take the form of an archer riding a doe, a huntress with bow and arrows, a little boy, a cow, a goose, or an arrow. A spirit of Mars appears as a man in armor, a king astride a wolf or a lion with a naked sword in his right hand and the severed head of a man in his left, as a horse, as a stag, or as wool. The shapes of the spirits of Jupiter are a king with drawn sword riding a lion, eagle, or dragon, a mitred priest, a girl crowned with laurel, a bull, stag, or peacock, a sword. A spirit of Mercury comes as a king riding on a bear, a beautiful youth, a woman holding a distaff, a dog, a she-bear, a magpie, a rod. Finally, the spirits of Saturn appear as a bearded king riding a dragon, an old bearded man, an old woman, a boy, a dragon, an owl, a black garment, a sickle, a juniper tree. These descriptions probably have the same basic purpose as the planetary images of Ficino and Bruno. They help the magician to summon and master the planetary spirits by concentrating on their characteristic forms. They have a parallel in the wealth of symbolic descriptions and pictures which alchemists included in their works as objects of meditation, in an attempt to convey ideas which they could not express exactly in ordinary language. In alchemy, to understand the stone was to find it. Similarly, in magic, to know the nature of a spirit is to master and control it.